This morning, Reverend Anya has asked me to share my credo. That is a statement of my beliefs about the meaning and purpose of my life. In short, why am I here? Since I'm a recent seminary graduate, you might think this would be a slam dunk. And it's true, I spent 6.5 years immersed in theological studies, learning a whole new language for talking about meaning and purpose. And yet, when I think about my credo, I don't think about my studies. That's not how I can talk about them. Instead, I want to share a story of a ride on Metro, of all places. Not where I usually look for my epiphanies. But this was about 3 weeks ago, maybe four, and I was heading downtown for a conference, and it was very early in the morning. I had brought a book with me, and I was reading peacefully for the first part of the ride, just sort of leaning against a glass partition. But at one point, for some reason, I looked up, and I started looking at my fellow passengers, just observing them. And some of them were reading as I had been. Others were scrolling through their smartphones. There was a lot of that. A lot of people were just staring into space or dozing because it was very early in the morning. When I was looking at them, I was struck suddenly by the power of the simple Buddhist teaching. It's a teaching I had just come across probably 3 or 4 times in the last couple months. And it's very simple. All beings wish to attain happiness, and all wish to avoid suffering. That's it. Very simple. When I'd come across this teaching before, I didn't really think much of it. I mean, it seemed true, but I wasn't really sure what to do with it. But that morning, as I looked at my fellow passengers, I was really struck by the truth of it. I would never know the particulars of their lives, those people who surrounded me. I would never know what suffering they experienced or how they thought about happiness, what happiness they longed for. But what I did know, what I could really sense that morning, was that they all felt that same longing I felt. That longing for happiness, that longing to be free from suffering. And when I realized this, when I realized it down in my bones, my heart was flooded with compassion. It was like a wave washing over me. I felt just great compassion for all these people, none of whom I knew. And that's when I realized that that was the point of that teaching, compassion. Compassion means to suffer with. I believe that if we recognize this longing in our fellow human beings, if we recognize this longing as the same longing that we feel, we can't help but feel compassion. And when we feel compassion, when we really feel it, we feel compelled to respond. Even if we don't know how to respond, even if there's no way for us to respond in the moment, we feel that pull. We feel that pull to offer comfort, to bring healing, to work for justice, to reconcile, or to forgive. Compassion teaches us to honor the fundamental unity of all life, to honor it by caring for one another. Compassion, that's my credo. That is what gives my life its purpose and meaning.
This is the teaching that I've heard about the Rabbi Simcha Bunim. This is a teaching that's passed down through the Jewish tradition. It is said that this Rabbi Simcha Bunim fills his pockets with two different pieces of paper. And when he needs, he pulls out one or the other to remind himself of what he needs to be reminded of in that particular moment. On one, he has written, "For my sake, the entire world was created. For my sake, the entire world was created." And on the other piece of paper, he has written, "I am but dust and ashes." For my sake, the entire world was created. I am but dust and ashes. You might be wondering then, which one of those two pieces of paper do I need to pull out now to remind myself of what I need to be reminded of in this moment? The teaching that the rabbi shares is that you might wish to choose the one that would seem the strangest to you, the most alien, the one that would be the hardest for you to employ at this particular moment. Perhaps you have made your way in the world and all of the doors have seemed to be opened for you so that you expect them always to be open for you, so that when they're not open for you, you get angry that they're not, because they should be opened for you. Then perhaps the pocket you need to reach in is the one that reminds you, "I am but dust and ashes. I was not born to rule the earth. I was born of the earth." But perhaps as you've gone through your life, all of the doors you have found have been closed to you. When you've gone to open them and find the new path for yourself, you find a locked, closed door. And that's happened so often that you stop even trying to open the doors because you've come to expect that they will be closed. Perhaps then the piece of paper that you need to reach for is the one that says, "For my sake, the entire world has been created." This teaching is a strange one, right? For my sake, the entire world was created. A little bit of ego in there, right? That's one way to see it. I look at this both theologically and scientifically. Theologically speaking, that phrase reminds me that I'm a child of God. We're all God's children, theologically speaking. And that I was born to live out the particular grace or gift of my spirit. And that this world has set me up to do so somehow. That I have a purpose beyond the limited understanding in my mind. I have a purpose that connects with the great theological universe, the cosmos we are a part of. That's theologically speaking. Scientifically speaking, the words, "For my sake, the entire world was created," reflect the reality that we are the universe's children. Not the universe's mistake, not the universe's off-gassing or accident, but the universe's children born to a purpose that we can realize. Scientists daring enough to ask why are we created have come to the hypothesis that perhaps humanity is the universe becoming conscious of itself. perhaps humanity is the universe becoming conscious of itself. Consciousness, the consciousness that only we with our reflective way of thinking can provide, is something that the universe, to personify, wants or needs. A necessary development in its expansion. Without us, this expansion would be impossible. That's a reminder that I need, that perhaps I have a purpose beyond those I understand in my day-to-day to complete my to-do list. It's also a reminder I needed on the New York subway. You know, John, those underground trains really can mess with your mind. Reverend Scott, my husband, and I took a few days up there in the big city for reflection and revelation. We piled on the subway many times every day. We piled on with everyone else. All those souls you saw as suffering and seeking happiness, a whole mass of humanity, well-dressed humanity, calm, self-obsessed humanity, broken humanity, smelly humanity, talking to oneself humanity, texting humanity, ignoring the mass humanity. That subway system is built to allow multiple trains to pass through the same station at the same time. You might be on one train, watching another train drift past, and through the window of that train, you spy yet another going in the other direction. And in each of those windows, you see faces, humanity everywhere. You can't help but ask, meditate, pray, why? The rules governing social behavior on the subway are exquisitely precise. Ritualistic, even. Everyone turns away, stares at the ground, their glance goes fuzzy. The tourists, unpracticed in this behavior, read the ads over and over. Somebody has to. But here's the strange thing. You are allowed to stare into the eyes of the people on the other trains. To stare directly at their faces without turning away. 5, 20, 40 faces stared into my own as we passed like ships on a darkened underground ocean. And the eyes, they were searching. All of the eyes were searching for something. Connection, recognition, being seen. As fellow sufferers seeking happiness, perhaps. I suppose I was searching for the same. I am but dust and ashes. I am yet another person ignoring the persons in this mass of humanity, and yet somehow I'm utterly alone. I'm going in circles. I am one of many. I am unnecessary. For my sake, the entire world was created. I'm here for some purpose. How do I know? I need to be seen, and others need to be seen, right? It proves we exist. We are the universe becoming conscious of itself right here, right now, when we dare look one another in the face. We are here to see others, feel, recognize, understand others, the ones that are easy for us to see, the ones that are like us, and the ones that are different, that are difficult for us to see, the ones that challenge us, that irk us, the ones that don't seem capable of seeing us for who we are. Can you feel me? A little while ago, we read the role of our dear departed, the role of the dear departed connected to this congregation. The Catholic Church enacts All Souls Day rituals where their parishioners do likewise. There they call the names and pray that any lost souls will be moved from purgatory into heaven. Purgatory for the Catholics is a place beyond death of wandering, of learning, and of finding one's own path to heaven. Purgatory is that place. I think it looks a lot like Costco. Or maybe the New York subway system. And it's for those souls that need to do some perfecting before St. Peter opens the doors for their deliverance, or the check line opens for them to finally get through with all their groceries. When I picture purgatory, I don't imagine it up there in the clouds. I feel it right here on earth with all of us. I feel it whenever we share space but refuse to see one another. I feel it when I watch the presidential debates, when the split between red and blue threatens to tear us soul from soul so that we can no longer see the inherent worth and dignity in those that hold a different political party than our own. Do you feel me? I feel it when I hear Black Lives Matter contrasted with Blue Lives Matter, as if one statement should or does cancel out the other, as if honoring one life as sacred means you don't honor all lives as sacred. Do you hear me? I feel it when my brother or sister speaks and all I hear are the ways he or she is different than me, rather than all the ways that we are the same. I struggled with the actions of Kim Davis, who refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. I hated the vitriol that rose up all around her decision. I hated the way my dear friends that had just been married themselves were aware again that not everyone saw their union as holy. But now, here's the challenge. But I had to, even amidst all the stupid, I had to pause and see her, Kim Davis. The truth is, she's taking a stand I wouldn't, but she is taking it for a reason that I can see: religious freedom. That's something I believe in. I can pause and see that even with all the other reasons, I wholly reject her perspective. I can see how we are in one small way the same. That enters into my hate, and it changes me. It might be I can pray what changes her one day. Purgatory is everything that splits us body and soul from one another and from our higher selves, our greater, more magnanimous selves that truly live the first principle of this faith, that we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of all people, all people. All those out there riding the subway cars in other directions, standing for the things you don't believe in or you don't understand, all people. Even the one that you struggle the most to see as inherently worthy and dignified, because that person needs to be seen as well. And now I'm not only talking about Kim Davis or Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I'm talking about you, the person that is the hardest for you to see, the one you wake up with every morning and go to sleep with every night, the one you see in the mirror, the one you struggle the most to see and to treat with compassion, yourself. Purgatory is the work the daily work to find that middle ground between one pocket and the other. Purgatory is the way we wander between the ego-driven fascination with self, where we recognize our own greatness, our own rightness, and deny the greatness and rightness of others, and the equally ego-driven or deprived, however you want to see it, desperation of meaninglessness, where we struggle to see any worth in ourselves, in our being. Purgatory is the work, the daily work, to find the middle ground. All Souls' Day reminds us of those who went before, their unique ways of wrestling, of seeking, and of finding that middle ground. All Souls reminds us that there is a limit to our striving, at least in this manner, in this place. We are dust and ashes, and to dust and ashes we will return. But while we are here, oh, the wonders we can see if we dare, because we have been given an amazing gift, one we must not forsake, whether we see it theologically or scientifically. We are God's children, or we are the universe becoming conscious of itself. Look and see where that takes you. Amen.